We exalt thy holy name, Lord. Praise your wonderful name. Now, Lord, we are gathered here to study your word, to learn from you. And we know, Lord, that only the Holy Spirit can present Jesus Christ. Only the Holy Spirit. So we pray tonight, Father, that through your Spirit you will cause us to say and cause the people to hear and perceive that which is of your intent toward us tonight, Lord, that we may serve you better. Meet every need. We'll be careful to praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. All right, we'll turn to Isaiah chapter 43 and read verses 1 through 7. And here we go. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. I want you to notice the accent here. First of all, notice how God delivers, but I want you to notice the calling of God. Now, this chapter is still talking about the servant of the Lord, and in 42 verse 1, it says, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in 42 verse 1, mine elect. And then in chapter 43, the ones that we read, notice in verse 1, I have called thee, thou art mine. And then I gave people for thee, men for thy life. I am with thee. And in verse 7, I have created him for my glory. Now, whenever Paul wrote to the epistles, to the churches, many times he said, call to be saints. He never wrote to the Christians. He never said to the Christians, call to be saints. And the word called and the word elect are the same word in the Greek. The elect and call, that's the same thing. Now, hold that place. Well, you know, we'll be back and forth here a little bit. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1, we have an example of this calling. And Paul uses this kind of language many times. 2 Timothy 1:9. There's many places in the New Testament where Paul talks about predestination, election, calling. That used to be preached a lot in the last century, not so much in this century, we have gotten over to more democratic, the idea is whosoever will, which also is scriptural. Nevertheless, it's impossible to understand the plan of God without understanding this concept of calling. And in 2 Timothy 1:9, he says this, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling?" That's the same word as elect, the elect of God, my servant, my elect. "Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." And the Greek there, as I remember, is before the ages of time. The Greek there says before the ages of time. Now, another place, you know, it says before the foundation of the world. And many such times, Paul says this. And of course, the passage that we just read is very strong. "See, I have called you, everyone, by my name." This is not talking about everybody in the world. This is talking about someone, as we get on and see who it is talking about. Now let's look at this again. "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling?" That's the word saint means holy one. We are called to be holy ones of God. "Not according to our works." That is, it isn't because we were a good person or a bad person that God called us. He called us when? Before the works of Genesis, of the first chapter of Genesis, came into being. You were called, see? "According to his own purpose," something that God schemed in his own mind. "Before we were called in Christ Jesus, before the ages of time, before clocks started ticking." It's interesting, when you get in the first chapter of Genesis, you notice the absence of time. It says evening and morning were the first day, but what does that mean? Because there was no sun, there was no moon, there was no stars. How could you have a day? It's God can just call days if he wants to. But you really don't have time. You have nothing in those first few verses to tell time by. You have no stars, you have no sun, no moon, no watches, no ways of measuring time. So there was a time before there was time. And back there in that void, we would call it, that time that we cannot conceive, as it will be after time is over in eternity, when things aren't measured by the watch, back then, God called us. He called us with a holy calling. He didn't call us according to our works. We hadn't done any works. We hadn't even been born. But God called us. And that calling is the ones, when we get back to Isaiah 43, you see, when we get into promises like this, where when you go through the waters, they won't overflow you, that it's not just talking about everybody. That's talking about the called. Those who are called. 43:1. "I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Right? Verse 7. "Everyone that is called by my name, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him." Said, isn't that true of everybody? Not in this sense it isn't. If it were, the Bible wouldn't be making any sense, because it's obviously talking about a chosen group of people. You find the same thing in John 14. I'm not trying to prove a point here for predestination and calling. You don't have to. It's the nature of the Scriptures. I just want to show you something about your own life so you have more understanding of what's going on. In John 17, Jesus comes down on this very hard. John 17, verse 2, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh," that is over all human beings, "that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." See, again, you're getting to your calling. And this is one that I like real well. is I want the place where he says that they are, all right, verse 16. He says, they are not of the world. See? John 17:16. Even as I am not of the world. If you're called to be a saint, you are not a part of the world. And in John, still in John 17, verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, John 17:9, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And then another place, and I don't see it here, I thought it's in this chapter, where he says, you are not of the world. If you were of the world would love you. But I have called you out of the world. Isn't that in this chapter? It's in John, but I guess it's not in this chapter. Well, anyway, the verses that I gave you are enough. We, how many know what the word church means? The word church means called out. It's a verb. It's not a noun, like a building. Yeah. The word church is a verb, and it means called out. Called out. We're called out. John 15, Jesus says, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And Paul kept writing to those who are called to be saints. Called to be saints. Called to be holy. Very interesting verse in Ephesians chapter 2 in this regard. Verse 8 of Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And in Ephesians 2, verse 9, not of works lest any man should boast. And then Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And that fits with the first chapter of Ephesians, verse 4, Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now you see how that ties in with Isaiah 43? You are mine. I gave Ethiopia for you. I gave Seba for you. I gave men for your life. I have called you. You are mine. So you see the power of election. Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Now, that's an awful lot of that in the Bible. You can't very well preach the Bible without getting into this area. Now I want to show you who it is that to whom this applies. Who is it that knows when he goes through the fire that it will not kindle upon him, that he will survive? Who is it that knows that when he goes through the waters, he will not drown, they will not overflow him? Who is it that can claim these promises? Precisely whom? God ever, obviously, when he says, behold my servant, mine elect, my called, he's talking about a specific group of people. And when Jesus said, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but them whom you have given me, for they are yours, they belong to God. Now, you could think of it in many ways, and I wished I were an artist like Brother Dow, but I'm not, so I'll just have to make a diagram. You can think of it as the lampstand. You can think of this called people as the lampstand of the tabernacle. And that was the lampstand. It had one... in the Hebrew, it's called the thigh. Or one thing. That is the lampstand, and that only is the lampstand. It had on top, it had many ornaments in here. And then on top, it had a little bowl like this. And there was oil and a wick and a light. That was the lampstand. Then, see, the Hebrew is very careful about this that I'm telling you. Then the lampstand had side branches. Now the side branches were not the lampstand in the Hebrew. Only the thigh is the lampstand. The lampstand had branches. They had some ornaments, but the thigh had three or four times as many ornaments as they did. And it was taller, not at the same height as you see from the Arch of Titus. It couldn't be from the Hebrew. This had four times the cups and bowls and blossoms that any of the side branches. The side branches also had little dishes with wicks and lights, oil in them. But according to the Hebrew, the purpose of these side branches was to throw light upon the face of it. In other words, the purpose of the burning of the side branches was to reveal the lampstand. Praise the Lord. You lose that when you see these lampstands that are all the same height, with seven things. You lose the whole picture of it. If you look at the Hebrew, it tells you about the ornamentation in this side is four times as many. Branch, cup and bowl, or bowl, cup and blossom, bowl, cup and blossom. But only a certain number in here, but way more in that one. And the Hebrew brings out clearly, this was the lampstand, these are the side branches that shine upon the face of the lampstand. The idea was to reveal the lampstand. Now, do you get the symbolism? What are we called to do? What do we show light on, though? What do we reveal? Christ. If you reveal anything else, nothing's going to happen. We're supposed to reveal Christ. See, we are the side branches. The six is the number of man. We are the side branches, and we also are anointed. But Jesus said, I. He didn't say we. He said, I. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So we have to be very careful in our preaching always to cast light upon Christ, because we can't save anybody. I think today in the charismatic move, that's a good thing to keep in mind. We ought not to be looking at this one with that gift and that one who can do this and this is the next thing. I don't think that's good. And I think God will take His glory and His power. The moment that we begin to reveal something other than Jesus Christ, the moment we begin to give glory and reveal something other than Jesus Christ, we are out of it. We are out of the plan of God. We always show Him. We never point toward gifts. We never point toward ministries or anything of the kind. Any gift in any ministry is only for one reason, and that is to point to Jesus, because He's the only one that can do anything. He is God, and we are His helpers. Now, Jesus said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. So, if you want to, you can think of the whole thing as the light of the world. You can think of the whole thing as Christ, as long as you understand that we're not confusing ourselves with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is the Lord Jesus. That's it. And we are not the Lord Jesus. But I want to show you His preeminence so that we could discuss this without your feeling that we were losing sight of the superiority of Christ, or the preeminence of Christ. Now, this whole business here can be considered Christ, because the word Christ means anointed. Are we anointed? Are we anointed? Then we are Christed. See, then the word charismatic means the same thing. All right, now, we are the body of Christ. We are not Jesus Christ. We always reveal Jesus Christ. We always point to Him. We don't have people point to us and say, now I'm going to do something for you. We point to Jesus and we say, we are helpers. We will pray with you but your relationship is with Jesus, not with us. We can't save anybody. We can't heal anybody. and we can't baptize anybody with the Holy Spirit. Only Jesus can do that. Hallelujah. When Peter and John said, look on us, it was because that was Christ in them. That was Jesus Christ, Spirit in them, speaking because Jesus Christ was going to do something, not because we carry around residual power. We don't carry around power. I've heard that preached in the last 15 years. I'm here to tell you I'm against that thing. I don't believe it one minute, Brother Olson. I don't believe that thing. We don't. The best thing that we can carry around is a knowledge that Jesus is God's Son. And if He gives us power to do something, that's fine. But boy, we've got to be awful careful that we don't begin to look into ourselves or to ourselves or lose sight of the fact that it is Jesus working with us, confirming the Word with signs following. Amen? We need to do that as well. We need to realize that we are dust. And it's only as the anointing of Jesus flows down over His body that we can do anything at all. So if you keep that in mind, there's no trouble. Now this whole thing is Messiah, because as I told you, Messiah and Christ, just one is Greek and one is Hebrew. The lampstand of the tabernacle portrays Christ, or Messiah, the one who is anointed with oil. Now, I want to submit to you further that this is what God means by Israel. By Israel. This is what God means for Israel, or the true Israel, to be the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Well, I wouldn't tell you such a thing if I didn't have more scriptures on it than I'd ever get through tonight. So you can have a certain amount of faith. I'll show you some. Because if there were not so, if that were not so, you couldn't stand on a verse like when you go through the fire, I'll be with thee. Because who was it talking to? It was talking to Jacob and Israel. Did you notice that when you read it? Yeah? You didn't notice that, did you? Some noticed it. And some never paid any attention. They said, oh, Abraham's blessings are mine, but they never figured out why that is. Now listen to it. Thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. So He's talking to Jacob and Israel. And as long as we believe that we're Gentiles and Jacob and Israel are over someplace else, you might as well throw out the Old Testament, because that's to whom it is written, is Israel. Now, what does Paul say? Paul says that the branches of the tree, we'll think of this as the olive tree now, with the anointing of God, the branches were broken off, and we were what? Grafted in and partake of that tree. That tree is the seed of Abraham. Hey, you know that? This is what is by election. This is what is by promise. That's why Paul said, oh, it was on the Jews, but when the Jews did not move with God in receiving Jesus, they ceased to be children of the promise and trusted in the fact that they were Jews by flesh after the law. And what did Paul say about that? It is not to the children of the flesh, but to whom? The children by what? Promise. Now, are we the children by promise? Why? Yeah, but what did we read tonight that shows that we're the children by promise? What did we read in 2 Timothy? Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus here. When? Before the world began, or before the ages of time. Therefore, we are the children of promise. Not by works, but by promise. Now, I want to see if you can see that, because some of you, I see, have never read that in the Bible. Romans 9, verse 7. Romans 9, verse 7. Neither... All right, well, let's start with verse 6. Not as though the word of God had taken effect. This is Romans 9, 6. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, Paul isn't saying here that it is the physical descendants of Isaac that get the promise. But Paul is saying it's not by works, but because Isaac was by promise. He's talking about the promise, not because it was Isaac instead of Ishmael. Verse 8, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, that is, born of Jewish parents, these are not the children of God, but the children of what? Of the promise. Now, God called us before the foundation of the world. That's the promise. And again, in Galatians 4, verse 28, Paul makes a big case about this. See, because the church, saints, the Christian church to this day does not understand this. They are saying, we're a Gentile church and we're going to go to heaven, and then the Jews are going to be another church on earth. This is the most biggest mess of confusion that ever hit the Christian church. There is no such thing as a church after the flesh. The Christ is the Messiah. We are His body. How then can there be a church of Israel after the flesh? Paul says it is by promise alone. Well, it abode on Israel while they were under the anointing of God. But when they rejected their Messiah, and we received Messiah, not because of our works, but why? Because we were chosen before the ages of time to be a part of Messiah, the completion of Messiah. Israel is Messiah, is the anointed of God, or the servant of the Lord. But you see, God wanted to provoke them to jealousy. So He moved the anointing from them and put it on us, so that the promise of God, of the prophets, falls on us today. One day it will return to the nation of Israel. We don't have a separate destiny from them. The prophets are speaking to us. Galatians 4, 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But to whom is Paul speaking? To those called to be saints, where? In Galatia. In Galatia. Was Galatia of Judea or of the Gentiles? Of the Gentiles. It's a Greek city. So he's saying we, that is we Galatians, and myself, Paul, are the children of promise. Everybody in Galatia? No. Do you remember in the book of Acts where they went to a city and the Bible says, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Then in another city it says, God said to Paul, keep on preaching here. I have many people in this city. I have many people in the city. Do you know what that means? God knows who his people are, having called them before the ages of time, and he knows where they live. I have many people in this city. Now, in Galatians chapter 3, now we're speaking about the Bible promise. When you pass through the waters, they will not overflow you. When you pass through the fire, the flame will not kindle upon you. And I'm trying to show you to whom that promise and all the other promises of the Old Testament, Psalms, Isaiah, I want to show you to whom those promises belong. They don't belong to everybody and his Uncle Harry. They belong to people that God calls by name. That God called before the foundation of the world. That God called to be a part of the body of Messiah or Christ. That God called to receive the anointing of his Holy Spirit. All right, Galatians 3. All right, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is what? Christ, or the Messiah. All right, now I'm going to ask you something. Who is the seed of Abraham? According to the Scriptures. Now look at it carefully, Galatians 3:16. Now who is the seed of Abraham? No, this is talking about, it's not talking about physical birth here. It's talking about the promise that God made to Abraham. No, it's not talking about the physical birth. It's talking about the messianic prophecy that comes down, well, like it says, "Behold my servant." See, that line that came down by promise from Abraham is not by physical birth. See, it's by promise. The seed of Abraham, now listen to it again. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, that is, God saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now let me ask you a question. How many seeds are there? Who is the seed? All right, the seed is Christ. And yet, remember, he said, thy seed shall be as the stars of heaven for multitude, and as the grains of sand. That's talking about that God's going to work in the heavens first and fill the heavens with Messiah and then the earth with Messiah. First the stars and then the grains of sand. All right, now, we've established that the seed is Christ and there is none other. Is that right? Okay. Now, look at the second to last verse. The last verse of that chapter, Galatians 3. And if you be Christ, that is, if you belong to Christ, Galatians 3:29. If you be Christ, that is, if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. Now, this again is to Gentile Greeks. You Greeks in Galatia are called to be holy. You are called from the foundation of the world to be a part of what? Christ. And the lampstand is Christ. Notice also in this last verse, you are heirs according to the promise. Now what is the promise? The promise of the Spirit through Jesus Christ, which is the promise of the prophets, such as when you go through the flame, it will not kindle upon you. That promise comes only to the seed of Abraham, and that seed is Christ. And if any Jew would be in that seed, what must he do? He must be born again. See, to see the kingdom, you must be born again. Being born again means that Christ or Messiah is born in you. Now, let's take a Gentile. How does he become a part? The exact same way. So there's no longer two but one. There's only one seed of Abraham, and it is by promise, or by election, or by calling. And that is God's anointed, and we have been grafted into that holy tree. That tree is Israel or Jacob. Okay? God does not speak to Jacob and Israel after the flesh, because he says here that the promises are only to the one seed. So if Jacob or Israel is going to receive the promise of God, what must he do? See, Jacob and Israel are the same person. His name was Jacob, was changed to Israel. It was Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. That's the grandson of Abraham. Only it's applied to the tribes of Israel, because Jacob had 12 sons. All right, so it's talking the tribes of Israel. Now, if any member of the tribes of Israel would be a part of Messiah, how does he get that way? Yes, and so, well, how about those that died before Jesus came? Well, they'll have to become part of Christ in the spiritual realm, because there's only one seed. And that's it. It's Messiah. It is the priest of God, the one that God has called for. It is the royal priesthood. Now, why has God, by predestination from before the foundation of the world, selected out certain people, called them by name to be holy and before him, called them Israel by promise, the seed of Abraham, the father of all who believe in Jesus? Why has God done that? Why has God done that? Why has God done that? Why is there just a handful of people in the church tonight when by far the majority of people in Lemon Grove are running around not knowing what they're doing, the left hand from the right? Why is that? Over whom? Exactly. That's another thing the churches do not understand. They think that if you become Israel, that means you're saved. The purpose of Israel is not to save a handful of people and damn the rest. The purpose of calling out people like you and me, that we might not live like everybody else, but give our lives entirely to God and become a priest unto God and a king unto God, the purpose of it is to save the world, so that the nations of the earth might have truth and justice. Behold my servant, he shall bring forth justice to the nations. See, we have been called to be a part of the heavenly Jerusalem. You turn to Hebrews 12, verse 22. See, we are true Israel. There is no other Israel. There is no other Israel. We are the only Israel there is. Although it started with the Jews, and it will end up with the Jews. But we Gentiles got sandwiched into it by the calling of God. But nobody becomes a part by being born of Jewish parents. You have to be what? Called. You have to be called. It's by promise. And if you're called, then God justifies you. And then do you say, suppose, how about this? Suppose you do nothing about it. Suppose, all right, everyone in this room is called to be a saint. If you weren't, you wouldn't be here. Suppose you do nothing about it, but spend the rest of your days living in the world. What then? You know what Peter says? You're a dog going back to your vomit. You see, God will go easy with the nations. But if God calls you to be a saint, and you don't live to God, and neglect your salvation, you'll be beaten with many stripes. That's what the scriptures teach. God loves the world, and so he called us out to be a light to the world. We are the light of the world. But if we then try to live like the world, we will be beaten with many stripes, whereas the world will be beaten with few stripes. Once God calls you, you cannot go back into the world. If you go back into the world, you'll be like the prophet Jonah. You will be a person out of gear. You will be not doing what you're supposed to. You and I are not of the world. We were called out of the world. We have no business being a part of the world. The world is supposed to hate us. And the reason the world doesn't hate us in America is because we're living like the world. If the church would start living unto God a holy separate life, you'd see persecution. But they won't persecute us because we live just like they do. The separation, the wall of separation has been broken down. It is time today for God to separate out His anointed, His lampstand. Hebrews 12:22. But you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God. That's what I've been trying to say for 2 or 3 years here, and I don't say it well. Granted, I don't blame anyone but myself for problems in communication. When I go to raving and railing about heaven, I'm not trying to say we don't go to paradise when we die. What I'm talking to about is that our purpose is not to die and go up and eat potato chips in a mansion. We have been called out and trained so that one day we might return with Jesus and release the creation. That's why I have so small patience with this mythological stuff that goes on. In the first place, we weren't called just to go up into heaven someplace. We're called to go up into the heavenly Jerusalem, into Mount Zion. And we're up there for a purpose, so that when the greater Son of David returns, we can return with Him and reign from Jerusalem over the nations of the earth. Brother, sister, we are not called to lay around in some home for retired people. We've been trained of God all our lives not to waste time, but to give forth the holy anointing oil of God upon this world that they might be released. Hallelujah! Why do you think God deals with us, calls us out, deals with us night and day, every little thing? The peoples of the world go on, live and die like so many animals, but not us. God deals with us all the time. The whole creation exists for our sake. I gave Ethiopia for thee. I gave Seba for thee. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And that is true of every single living Christian. And the only reason there's the first fruits out of the church is like the second anointing of David, so that a group of overcomers can come out of the church and return with Jesus and rule with Him over this temporary thing called a 1,000-year period. After that time, it says, all Israel shall be saved. The third anointing of David. And that's why He's going through the church today, pulling out of the church a bride, an overcoming group of mighty men, just as David had mighty men. For what purpose? To sit up and eat popsicles someplace on the third story of a mansion? We have received the double portion of God. Do you know why an older son of a Jewish house receives a double portion? So after the father dies, he can take care of the family. And God has not given us a double portion so we can think we're better than everybody else. God has given us an understanding and a double portion of His Scripture so that we can serve the house of God. And then the house of God will serve the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. That's why God says, I gave this for you, I gave that for you, I have called you by My name, you are Mine. You belong to Me, you are not of the world, I have called you out of the world. For what? To be a priest. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, that God has called you out, not to do fiddly-boo someplace. There's a whole world out there in darkness. And they can get their light only through the church, but when they look at the church, they see sin and self-seeking. They don't see this fire. They don't see the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't see His holiness. They don't see His will, His person, His ways, or His purpose. Because every man seeks his own, not the things which are God's. That was true even in Paul's day. He says, no man cares for Christ. They're all seeking their own. So it is today. We need to remember that the world is waiting to see Messiah. They're waiting to see the Christ of God, the true light. And it's going to appear up in heaven. It appears in here, in us. He comes to be glorified in all them that believe, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And so God has called us today, and whosoever will is to come out. You can blow your calling. You bet you can blow it. That's why the Bible says, labor to make your calling and election certain. If it was certain, it wouldn't say that. It says labor to make it certain. So who knows whether he's called? You won't know whether you're called until you see Jesus face to face and he says you're called. All we know is we've got a momentum toward God, and that takes everything in us to keep on going, not get taken out of it by the lust of the world. Labor to make your calling and election certain. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, it says. Not with some careless overconfidence. It says work it out with fear and trembling, because the devil walks around seeking whom he may devour. So we have, Israel was broken off, Paul says, and you stand by faith. He says, you better be careful, you also will be broken off. Romans chapter 11. So keeping your name in the book of life. I heard somebody say not too long ago, once it's in, it can never get blotted out. It'd be wonderful if people would read the Bible. Revelation chapter 3 verse 5 says, to him that overcometh will I grant to walk with me in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. So it's, you can get it in there, but the idea is to keep it in there. Praise the Lord. Not lose your crown. He said, watch it, you'll lose your crown. Somebody will steal it from you. So I think we're seeing the picture. This is the elect and the only elect of God. At one time, it was the nation of Israel and their holy prophets. But then, when Jesus came and they didn't receive him, the anointing passed to those who didn't receive him, which of course included many, many Jews, including all the writers of the New Testament except Luke. This is God's lampstand. Now, that's you. But you have to labor to make your calling election sure. Now, let's go back. I did all that to show you that it was talking to you and not to the Jews after the flesh. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the ages of time. It's by promise. You're here by promise. Not because you're better than anybody else, but by promise. God opened your eyes and you saw the Lamb of God by promise, because God called you. Now what you've got to do is get with it and make your calling sure and certain, so that you can be an heir of the promise of God to Messiah, to Israel, to Jacob, to that is to the holy olive tree of which we are a member. We are these side branches. Our job in life is to reveal Jesus Christ, the thigh, the lampstand proper. We are a side branch on the lampstand. Isaiah 43:1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. You see, God created all people, and we all human beings are the offspring of God. But out of the masses of mankind, God called Israel. See, that is, he called Messiah. He called an anointed company of priests to be made one in Christ Jesus. See, that's Israel. That's the true Israel. There is no other Israel. That's the seed of Abraham. You can't be seed of Abraham by flesh. And that's what he means. He created us in a special way that formed thee. O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Paul in chapter 8 of Romans says, whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. And again he says, whom he did predestinate, was it them he justified. Whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. Even our glorification is in the past tense. It was all done before the foundation of the world. That's in Romans 8, about verse, 31 or 32. Whom he called, he justified. God just did it. He just said justified and glorified. This is my group. So therefore, we'll be treated easier than everybody else, right? Now we're treated harder than everybody else. Judgment begins in the house of God. That's why we have the problems that we do. Because we have been called. If you weren't called, you could go out and wander around like the rest of them. Eat pizza and be happy. Now fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. You know, God didn't call everybody on earth by his name. How many knew that? He didn't call everybody on earth. He called you by your name. And you have to respond, because if you're ashamed of Jesus, he will not confess your name before God. He will not do that thing. He'd be ashamed of you. But if you, as his elect, confess him before men, he will confess your name before the Father, and the Father will know you by name. See, there's something we have to do. We have to respond. We have to respond. If you don't respond, it's a contract has to have two signatures. God signed it on the cross. If you don't sign it with your life, it's invalid. If a contract has one signature, it is invalid. Did you know that? It is absolutely worth nothing but the paper it's written on for scrap paper. You have to have both parties sign it. And God signed the contract for the messianic inheritance. He signed it on the cross. But until you sign it by presenting your body a living sacrifice, the contract is invalid. It's not a one-sided thing. Amen? Oh, that's so true. Many, many, many people have blown their calling because they thought it was all by grace and they didn't have to do a thing. You have to present your body a living sacrifice. You have to give yourself to your calling. You have to lay hold upon your calling if you're going to make it, get all these wonderful things. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Now, if you are God's call, which you are, and if you are serving him, which I hope you are, you're really living as a true Israelite, as a part of a body of Messiah, this promise holds for you. When you go through the waters of trouble, of judgment, of destruction, God will be with you. You don't have to say, maybe, and where are you? I will be with him in trouble, it says in the 91st Psalm. God is with you. You may not see him. You may not feel him. He is there. It may get blacker and deeper as you fall into a hole that seems like a bottomless pit. God is there. I will be with thee. Praise the Lord. When you go through the waters, God is with you. He is with you, saints. He cannot lie. He is with you. If you are his called, his that God has called out. To know in a peculiar way, we're a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And if we are living as a saint, having been called as a saint, these promises of the Old Testament apply to us. Praise the Lord. Not to the Jew after the flesh, to the Jew by promise, by promise. Okay. When you go through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. They may get up to the bottom of your nose, but they're not going any further. They will stop. God will come in and say, thus far thy proud waves shall go, and no further. God has the oceans and the river in the palm of his hand, and he can bring them up, but he sets their boundaries. He sets their shoreline, and they cannot transgress. And when God sees that your tribulations have come to the point that is enough for you, God says, stop, your waves go no further, and you will still be able to breathe. That's what the promise to you. When you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, which of course we think of the three Hebrew children. This is God's promise to everyone who is called by his name. They shall not kindle on you. You look at him, you say, my life is gone, it's all over, boys, take me away. But somehow you come out, and all that was burned were your bondages. Now listen, I've lived to see this thing. It is true. God does not fail. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom. He gave Egypt for his Israel when his calling rested upon them. And they were the children of the promise of God when his promise was abiding on them. And they were in his will and under his anointing. God gave a whole nation to show them his love and his power. So that's not democratic. I can't help it. That's God. He has chosen our people, and he is going to love them and single them out and call them by name, and that's all there was to it. You remember that Miriam and Aaron had it up to their gills with Moses, and they finally began to chide him because Aaron was an older brother, and I think Miriam was older than Aaron. And here's this young upstart Moses, and Miriam come out with something. She did not like the woman that Moses married. And God rebuked her, and the leprosy, which ordinarily takes years to culture, broke out in her in an instant like that. Suddenly she was a leper. And God said, Moses is my friend. That's not up to you or me to decide. It wasn't because Moses was better than God. Does those sorts of things. He's a person. And Moses said, "Oh God, heal her." And God said, "Well, if her father spit in her face, she'd be ashamed. Put her outside the camp. And then when the sun goes down, bring her back." I don't think they ever did that again. God does things by election, saints. It's so that men cannot boast, so that we cannot say we're good or bad. God says you're the most stiff-necked of all people. That's what he said to Israel. "I didn't call you because you're good. You're stiff-necked. Because you were many in number, you were few in number. I called you according to my own purpose and grace in Christ Jesus." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so these promises apply to you. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, "Give up," to the south, "Keep not back." Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth. We don't have to worry about fruitfulness, just about pleasing God. Even everyone, verse 7, that is called by my name. Are you called by the name of the Lord? You call by his name, you call Christian. You've taken on you the name of Christ. "I have created him for my glory." God created you for his glory. He did not, you're not an average person running around putting food in your stomach to get strength to work, to get money to eat food and sleep, work, play, and reproduce. God called you out from among mankind from before the creation of the world to show forth his glory. You are a unique expression of God for eternity. If you will let God create a new creature in you, he will pound Christ himself into you. As the holy incense was pounded together with salt, God will pound you and Jesus together until out of that comes a brand new creation, which is a unique revelation and incarnation, the making visible of the invisible God. That's what God has called you to. It is such a high calling, it's almost sacrilegious to speak about it. He has called you to be part of the divine Godhead. "I in them and thou in me, that they may be made one in us." These are things that if God hadn't said it, it'd be sacrilegious, it'd be blasphemous to say it. But God has called us to be a part of his substance, of his essence, of his divine nature. God has said to us, "You are mine. I have run this world for your sake. I called you from before the foundation of the world. You will go through the waters. You will go through these things." He didn't say, "If you will go through them." He said, "You will go through them." When you pass through them, you will go through them. But they will not overflow on you, because I have called you out to be my servant and my witness, so that through you the nations of the earth might have a light. And when we are one in God, in Christ, then the world will believe that God has sent Jesus Christ, and that he loves us as he loves Christ. And that's what it says in John 17. Let's conclude on that, because that, I don't think there are any other words as great as these in the Scripture, barring the holy passion of Christ, not counting that. But if you want to get into holy business, it's John 17, verse 21, that they all may be one. This is the elect now he's talking about, those that God gave him. "As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us." That's one in the divine Godhead. "That the world may believe." See, that's the purpose, is for the world's sake, for the nation's sake. "That thou hast sent me," not that thou hast sent them, but that thou hast sent me, the thigh of the lamp stand. "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are." We are not yet, but that glory is coming, and we'll be one. "I in them, and thou in me." That's the kingdom of God. "That they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me," that is the central shaft, "and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." You are God's Israel. You are God's branch by promise, not by works. God put his calling upon you and is dealing with you every day. You say, "Why does this happen? Why does that happen?" Because you're not perfect in God's sight. And as long as you're on this earth, God is giving you another day. It is for one purpose. It is because you're not created yet the way God wants you. That's all. Not so that you can make money. Not so that you can live longer. Not so that you can retire in your old age. God has left you another day, I don't care what your age is, for one reason and one reason alone, that he might create you a masterpiece and fill you with His glory. Praise the Lord. Are you up to a call like that? It's divine and eternal. You say, well, I'm nobody. Yes, you are. God called you by name, you wouldn't be here. You say, well, how come it's not happening in a palace? It's born in a manger. It's born in a manger. It's born in a manger, saints. It's not those that kings live in kings' palaces. See, that's not for us. Manger stuff. That's our style. Manger. Lowly. Meek. That's where God is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we give glory to Your holy name. We give glory to Your holy name this night. Oh, Thou art worthy of praise. Hallelujah. Thou art worthy of praise, Jesus, when we think of the calling that abides upon us. When we think, Lord, that Thou hast called us before the ages of time in Christ Jesus, that we might walk in His holy ways and be part of Him, Lord. We are overwhelmed. We're overwhelmed, Lord. As Abraham must have been, surely, when You said, Thy seed shall be as the stars of heaven. He must have been overwhelmed, Lord, and we are overwhelmed when we read our destiny in the book of books. But Lord, as Abraham, we do not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. We believe what You have said, what You have written. We hasten to the calling. We do not have oxen that we are testing or lands that we need to see. We have one purpose in life, Jesus, and that is to work out our calling with fear and trembling, that we might be pleasing to God who has called us and has shed His precious blood, that we might enter into the head, even Jesus Christ. Praise Your wonderful name. Hallelujah. While every head is bowed, there may be some here, and you're not living it as you should. You're not living it as you should. I'd like to pray for you tonight. Would you slip up your hand? I want you to stand. I want you to stand. I want to make it a little harder. Are there some here, and I feel in my spirit that there are some, and you are not living as you should. Now, you're getting careless, and you're not living up to any such calling, but are not praying, not reading your scripture, but are drifting. I want you to stand right now. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to include you in my closing prayer here, and I want you to stand. Oh, saints, 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 don't be sluggish. If it is true of you, stand. It won't hurt, and it might help. And I want to pray for you. Praise the Lord. I want you to come before God and stand. Are there any? Praise the Lord. Jesus, You know the hearts of Your people. Lord, we'd be glad to pray with them if they stand. But Lord, I don't want to embarrass anybody or shoot in the dark here. It's up to You, Jesus. You're the one that has called us. Hallelujah. You've got that strength whereby we can live the life as we should. But we must go after it. And one more time, is there anybody that is not going after it as you should, and you want to be included in our closing prayer? I'd like you to stand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Your name. Wonderful Lord. Wonderful Lord. We love You, Lord. We've put sin out of our lives by Your grace. We put self-seeking out of our lives by Your grace. We put away all of our ambitions and projects and hopes and vocations and talents and everything else, Lord, out of our lives according to Your will for us, Lord, that we might give ourselves without restriction to the preaching of Thy word, to doing Your will, Lord, offering our bodies a living sacrifice as our reasonable service that we might prove Your will. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.